in Florida, in Jefferson County,
mm-hmm.
you know, between Monticello and Lay Mount, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised and born right in the same place. My parents was too. And we was raised up around the same old plantation that they was raised up around. And there they learned how to make baskets. My mother's father knowed how to make baskets, and he would make them. So she learned by him making them. And after she learned and she married, well, she learned my dad how to make them too. And then both of them would make baskets. And every cotton season, they would make a lot of cotton baskets, big ones, you know. They'd make the big old kind, and you'd see them sitting all about in the cotton patch full of cotton. And so we, as we grew up, you know, I used to stand around Mama and see her, you know, making the baskets and cutting off little pieces and throwing it down, and I'd pick them up and try to make a little basket out of them. And sometime I'd get it together, kind of like I was doing something, it'd tear up. I'd cry. So I'd go to Mama with it. She'd be working and she wouldn't have time to fool with me, I know. But she'd stop sometime and she'd take time and she'd show me how to put it together. She'd say, now see here, she'd say, you can take 8 splits. She said, don't take 16. She said, take 16 to make a basket. She said, but you can make a little one with an 8. And she said, you start like that and you learn to make them that way, and then you learn how to make them with 16.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. I'd take me 8 and then I'd make me a little basket, and I'd be so glad when I get it made. I'd try to do better next time.
Yeah.
So finally, we got to where it was 5 of us sisters, 2 brothers, and we all would race against one another, you know, and we all learned how to make baskets. And my brothers would make a basket every now and then. The brothers, they wasn't very careful about making a basket. It was too kind of hard for them. They would make axe handles and wash bowls.
Mm-hmm.
But all us girls would make baskets. We'd make the little square ones.
Mm-hmm.
With the handle on them, and then we'd make the long clothes baskets, and Papa would sell them for us, and that would encourage us, and then we would try to do better. So we found out that, you know, we could do very good making them.
Mm-hmm.
And they would get us then to help them rim up then after we learned, and that was joy to us to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so ever since then, I've been making a basket, and that been ever since, you know, I was about 13 years old, going on 13 years old then.
When were you born? In what year were you born?
I was born in 1904. Sure was.
So you've been making baskets a good many years.
Good many years. You know, I'd quit sometime for a good many years, but I never forgot it. Because after I married and came down in this part, well, I didn't make none then, a good part.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, last, I said, you know, I'm going in the woods and I'm going to get me an oak and make me a clothes basket. So my husband said, what kind of basket is that going to be? I said, you'll see. When I get it made, I said, you come on and go with me in the woods. So he went with me in the woods and he cut it for me. When I find it, he'd cut it for me. And we'd bring it back to the house. And I'd show him how Papa and them would split it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd split it up and I'd get out my splits. And he'd be just surprised to see how it'd be right.
Yeah.
And I'd make me a clothes basket. And sometime I'd make him a basket to pick up corn and he just got so he liked them. From then on, somebody else would want one, and just that way they would do.
Yeah.
And so I'd make them maybe a good little while, then I'd quit again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long, because I was raising kids, and you know, I had to tend to them babies.
How many babies did you have in all?
Oh, I had ten here children. Mm. But I lost one when he was a little bit of baby. Mm. And I got nine here living children.
Are they all living right around here?
Or? No, I got one living around here. He's at Maloney Plantation. Mm. He's the one cuts the soap for me. Yeah. And the rest of them is in Syracuse, New York.
Oh. That's right up where we're from.
Oh, yeah? And I got one live in Jersey.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And when I was up there, you know, I go up there and stay with them sometime, and I'll be riding out. I said, you know, I should have had me an ex to the mall. I said, I see plenty of oak. I see it all in the people's yard. I said, I'll go and go to cutting down me one. They say, Mama, you ain't coming up here and getting jail in you.
That'd be terrible, wouldn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Did you ever go out and get the oak yourself when you were younger, or did a man always do that for you?
I used to go get it myself, because my husband wouldn't know what kind of oak to pick for me.
Yeah.
And he'd get any kind. See, he'd try to get the white oak, but when it come to look, he'd have it so bad and knotty, and I'd hate to discourage him.
Yeah.
So
be better that you'd go with him.
I'd go with him in the woods and show him what kind I wanted. So after the kids grow up, I would take the children and go in the woods and cut it. So most of all the kids know how to go in the woods and pick it.
How do you look for a good tree? What should it be like?
You look for a smooth white oak tree. I got some laying under that shed out on the end split.
Uh-huh.
You look for it clear notch, you know, and be sure it's white oak. Because last week my son come and me and him went in the woods. I went with him to get some. I told him, I said, you been getting me some oak? I said, been pulling me pretty hard. I said, I think some of it been post oak and some been turkey oak. He just laughed. So we went out there and me and him was walking in the woods and looking for oak. He said, Mama, how about this one here? He said, got a pretty body. I say, ooh, I say, so is. I said, but TJ, you know what that is? He said, what is it, Mama? I said, that's a beech oak. It got leaves like a beech tree.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked, got bark like an oak, but yeah. It got leaves like a beech. I said, that's a bad splitting.
Yeah.
Sure is. So I showed him what kind to cut. And if you cut the right kind, you'll get good oak.
Now, I've heard him say that you're supposed to cut it from the north side. Now, if you've got a ridge, you should cut the oak from the north side. Do you do it that way, or?
Well, I just cut it.
Wherever you find it?
You know, one thing I learned, if you go in the swamp, now just like these swamps, you get your nice oak out swamp, you got your nice split oak.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go on the highland, like a clay hill, and get one, you got a mean split oak. It splits rough, and it's mean to pull, and you'll have a kind of hard time with it.
Yeah.
So do, but I love to get it out the low swamp.
The swamp right. Makes the best.
That's right. It makes the best.
Yeah.
So do.
So what do you do after you come back with your wood now? You come back with a good, straight piece of wood that doesn't have any knots in it.
That's right.
Then how do you split it up?
I take my eggs. I have two X's out there, and I just lay the piece of wood down and take one X, and I lay it down straight here. I can kind of see them grains, and I set my X right there, and then I take the other X, and I bang it.
Yeah.
Bang it till I drive it in and get it'll crack open.
Mm-hmm.
Then I take my wedge and set it in there and drive it, and it'll split further. And I'll set me another X of edge until I get it bust open.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get it bust, then I turn them two pieces flat and bust them the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Now if it's a little old, a small one about like that, and I get it started to the end and it busts, I can just take my feet and stand on it and pull it and it'll split.
The rest of the way.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
But I won't do a big one like that because I'm afraid I'll break my back down.
You could. You sure
can't do nothing. Sure is.
Then how do you pull your splits now? Do you use a pocket knife or a
draw
knife?
That's right. I use this pocket knife.
Uh-huh.
I have another knife here. Now these are my knives when it's in the pieces before I drive the splits. I use this for my knock hammer, and I use this to split it. Mm-hmm. And when I get it started, then I can pull it and it'll split. Mm-hmm. When I get in small pieces, then I take my knife here, mm-hmm. and I open it then, and I take it, and I can work it up in my hands.
Smooth it down and everything.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Get it small as I want it. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have had a lot of fun, you know, going places with people. And they asking me questions about it, and I telling them, and it's just fun to them. Sure is.
Well, there's so few people around that know how to do this anymore. It's really
It sure is.
Something that just, it's dying out. People just aren't learning how to make baskets.
Well, they sure is. And I tried to get some children to learn, but it don't seem like, you know, they got the mind on it enough. I think the time is too far spent. Mm-hmm. And they ain't got time to learn it. I said, well, it'll be gone when I'm gone. I said, but the people ought to have enough of my baskets around to last them.
Yeah, yeah. Because
they'll last them from generation to generation.
I know, they're strong.
That's right. If they take care of them, they'll last them a long time.
Now, when you finish, do you soak your baskets in water and let them dry to make them tighten up? Or
no.
You don't do that?
No. Just like I'm running this nut. Now this is already all of its dry wood, because the splits done dry. Now one like this, I can run it up and knock it down and turn it down and finish it if you know I have to. But when I make them out the green oak and I run them up like that, I just set them back aside and set them back in. Put up another one, and when they all swing good, then I takes my little old knock hammer here and take them like this, and I start right at the bottom here to knocking them down.
See, that tightens it up?
That tightens it up. You knock it down, get all them splits down, you go round it good, get it knocked down. And when you get it knocked down, then you turn these down when you got it high as you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to show you some I got finished.
Okay. How many different kinds of baskets do you make now? Different sizes?
Well, I make all kinds. You know, they ask for coat. A lot of times they've been asking for these kinds so much till I was mostly making them kind. And
do you have a name for this kind?
Well, I used to call them corn baskets, but they call them laundry baskets now. They want some for laundry baskets.
They're not used for corn so much anymore.
Sure don't. Yeah. That's right. And so the one I call the clothes basket is the long basket.
Yes.
I call them the clothes baskets. And makes the little waste baskets made up in the shape of a strainer bucket, you know, small at the bottom and come up. I makes them, but the people won't let me keep none. I had three beautiful ones I took up yonder, and they was going in a little pile. And I got some of the corn baskets too.
Uh huh. How's that doing, Steve? Is this the mic close
enough? Yeah.
Warn me when we're just about out of tape.
Yeah, okay.
This one ain't finished. I ain't finished the bottom of it.
Now this is what you call laundry basket.
That's right. Yeah. I call them.
Yeah, you hold it like this.
And this one I finished it.
That's a nice one.
finished.
Oh, you got quite a few.
One more in there. I wouldn't carry two, because I had promised them to a man. He promised to come and get them, and he asked me to please save them. So I wouldn't carry them to the fair.
Yeah.
Because somebody would sure get them.
He didn't come get them yet?
He ain't come and got them yet. I say if he keep on staying, he'll lose them.
He will. I think what we'll do later is take some of them out in the yard and take a picture of them by the flowers, you
That's
know, with
right.
the colors. That
That's
look
right. That's right. That will be beautiful.
You better have a taste, you know.
Sure will.
Change it. But I don't want to keep you from me working now. Do you want to go ahead and be working on this one while we talk
oh,
here?
Oh, that's all right. You know, you lay it down, you split one end of it.
Now, do you have a name that you call this first split? Is there anything? I've heard this called the devil's leg. Did you ever hear
well,
that?
Well, I reckon it's it.
Because it's so much trouble to do.
That's what it is. You split this end of it from right along here out to the end. Well, the other end ain't split.
Uh-huh.
And now this is where you start your split end from when you're going to run them around. You start right there. That's where you start.
That's the first place then from all of them. You start going in there.
Sure, you the first where you start, the bottom and everything.
Now, is this piece here any thicker?
And it's thicker than this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so it'd be a stronger piece.
That's right. That's the ribs. And these are the splits.
Right. The ribs are always thicker.
Thicker. Mm-hmm. That's right. So it is.
And then you just start going around there. What do you call that? Weaving it up? Or?
That's right. You're weaving it up.
What about the other names you have? You have pulling it. What do you call it when you pull it?
I call it splitting it.
That's splitting the wood?
Splitting the wood and getting out splits.
Yeah.
And then I scrape some, make them smooth.
And what is it when you say you're laying a basket? What is that?
That's laying it on the floor.
That's the first thing when you lay it out
that's
flat?
That's when you're laying this on her. You lay it out, it's laying flat like a spider web. And then you start from that split to run it around. You lay down eight splits first.
Mm-hmm.
And you take your little short split about that long, a nice little limber one, and you start into that split, and you run it on round with that first that no go. Then you quit and fix that and it won't come out. Then you lay it more on top. In every vacant, you can tell good where you lay your split.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go right back to that same split and pick up that same split starting
right.
there.
Right.
And when you come back around there, you're right even again.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going on off with it then.
How long does it take you to make one of your baskets if you just work straight at it?
Well, If you just worked it right straight after, you could make a basket in a day, but it wouldn't be good.
Mm-hmm.
If you made it out green oak, it wouldn't be good. Mm-hmm. It'd soon be so weak, it'd be rocking about. But you let it season and then knock them down and rim them up, and then you got strong baskets that don't give.
How much money do you sell your baskets for nowadays?
Well, I sell them side there for $15, and these for
$20,
and that other one,
$25. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the people kicks on it, they don't want to do it.
Well, that's a lot of hard work put in.
I say, if you don't want them, don't get them, because I say, I don't want to make them no harm. I said, I just make some because people wants put in them orders. I said, because they're killing me. The people tell me they are killing me. Yes, sir. So I got in some little orders for some of the little small ones to me.
That's the kind I'd like to have. One of the small ones with a handle?
That's right.
Like you had last time we were here?
That's right. They got them.
Yeah.
And they couldn't pay.
Yeah.
And I made one up there while I was up there.
Oh, you did? Up in Monticello?
That's right. I had some little splits. And I made a little one about that long, a little square one like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so beautiful. I wanted to bring my basket back home, but they bought it.
And just buy everything you make, I believe.
It sure is. Everything I could make, they get it from me. And I said, well, so I just ain't going to keep nothing.
Right.
Sure is. And the rug, I ain't started on it yet.
Oh, that's right, the corn shuck.
That's right.
Did you learn to do that from your mother and father, too?
That's right. I like to shuck rug. My mother used to plait them, and she'd make mule collars, too. I ain't never made a mule collar.
Now, what do you do when you start? Do you get the corn shucks and you let them dry out, or do you have to do anything special?
Get them and tear them out.
Uh-huh.
You tear them up and put them, you know, in a tub. And sprinkle water on them, and then you tear out so many more and lay them around in there and sprinkle them. And you can tear till you tear your tub full, and then when you get time to sit down and just plait till you plait them all up.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get time, then you can sew them. That's a hard job. I don't like it.
It looks hard.
Well, it is. Hard job. Mm-hmm. I had my old iron needle one time. I don't know what the children did there. But if I could have kept that, you know, I could do better. But I has to try to make me an oak needle.
Mm.
And, you know, the way I do is I just sharpen me an end on a piece of oak, make it keen, and I sew some with that. Sure does.
Does that work pretty well?
It works nice.
Mm-hmm.
Sure does. Mm-hmm. Works nice. But it takes me so long to make it, because... Look like I'm ain't making much time, you know, because you got to try to keep it even. Mm-hmm. But they're pretty when you get them made.
Yeah, they're nice.
So yes.
They're nice. When your mother, you said, made baskets on the plantation?
That's right.
Now, was that her regular job or what she did?
It wasn't her regular job. She just made them on cotton season
because
she'd be working in the field,
right.
You know. And when long in September, when the cotton go to opening, that's when they'd go to wanting baskets, and people would go to wanting cotton baskets, and they would go to making some.
So did she get to keep the money she made from selling those baskets?
That's right.
Yeah. Your parents weren't in slavery then. That was before their time?
No, they wasn't in slavery.
Were your grandparents?
My grandparents was in slavery.
Do you remember them telling stories or talking about that much?
My grandmother, my mother was born the fourth year after freedom, but my grandmother was born in slavery, and my grandfather, he was in slavery. He used to make salt on the, I forget the name of the river he make salt. But, you know, I can remember my daddy's grandmother. He'd call her Grandma. She was old, but she used to cook some good bread.
Oh, yeah? What kind of bread did she make?
You know, it looked like to me it was the best bread, to be sure. And I said, that's because I was little and was hungry, I reckon.
Yeah.
Grandma would sit down, and she had a little wooden tray, you know, and she'd roll that bread, roll it, and cook it. And then she'd give us a piece of it and tell us to run on home to Mama now. And she said, Grandma, I can't hardly see.
Yeah.
And that's been a many years.
She must have been a very old woman then.
She was old.
Did she ever tell stories to you children?
Well, I don't reckon I was big enough to understand the stories then. Mm-hmm. All I wanted was that bridge.
Yeah. So your granddaddy made salt. Is that what the plantation did that was for salt? Or?
No, I think that's what he did when he was in the war.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he was in World War. That was one morning.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what he did while he was in the war.
Huh.
And we didn't, you know, I thinks about, I said, we ought to question the old folks. There's lots of times I sit down and say, why didn't we question those old folks more when they was living? And find out more things about them. Like my grandchildren do with me. They just get around me and question me to death.
But that's the way they'll learn, and they'll be able to tell their children.
That's right. They show me. So I tell them everything I know far back as I can, and I could remember back a long ways. Yeah. So cool.
How's this countryside around here changed since you've been living here?
Oh, it's changed a lot, you know, changed a lot. Well, sometime, I think, it's changed a lot. It changed. Look like to me the world is more friendly than it used to be. Yeah, look like it's more friendly, except, you know, I didn't get around in the other day. Mm-hmm. But I know I meet so many friendly, nice people, and I tell you, I just enjoy meeting them, sure do. Yes, sir.
Have you always lived, did you move into this house with your husband?
I moved with my last husband, I was married twice. Uh-huh. I lived with my first husband 35 years. Me and him raised up a family. Mm-hmm. All our children was grown when he died. And he died in 59. Mm-hmm. And so me and Clark married in 62. Mm-hmm. And he lived, me and him lived together 9 years, mm-hmm. and he took sick and died. Mm-hmm. So I've been here ever since. But I was living over to Maloney, mm-hmm. where my son is. That's mm-hmm. where I was. Mm-hmm.
Tell me about gardening around here. I didn't grow up in this part of the country, and it's different than where I come from. About how you raise collards and tomatoes and the different vegetables and what time you plant them. And
yes. Well, we, last month was the time mostly we planted, but you can sit them now.
That was in March you usually planted.
That's right, in March. We usually plant our garden in March and plant our little collards, you know, and we thin them out. We done thinned them along this time. But old lazy me sat up here where my ground wasn't broke. And I'm done old and lazy and I was sick too. And I said, well, I just ain't gonna plant nothing. I said, I'm gonna let it grow up. So Jimmy, the boy, they rent my land. He come along and he let his boy break up my garden.
Well, that's good.
So I said, well, I'm gonna drag out and do something. So I got out there and I sought out me some collards. And it was so dry, I had to water morning and evening. And time I got them to living good, I went out there the other day and looked for my collards, and the rabbit done hit me about all of them up. I want to catch that rabbit through
really?
That fence.
What else do people usually raise? You said you had tomato plants and collards.
Yeah,
and
we have tomatoes, collards, cabbages, and corn. We have plants, sweet corn.
Sweet corn.
That's good. And peas. Have all the peas. I see Jimmy done planted peas out there. I said, well, I ain't got to plant none, because when they plant peas right out there, well, I'll get a plant of peas.
Yeah.
And everything in tomatoes, we have plenty of them.
Do you plant okra?
Okra.
Yeah.
Snap bean. Now, my brother-in-law, he live up on the hill. He planted some okra, and around his place do make okra, because he's living on a clay hill.
Mm-hmm.
And that clay hill, he makes some of the nicest okra, and it lasts until the frost kill it.
Boy, must be that clay, I guess, does it?
That's what it is. Now, I can plant it here, and it'll come up and look so pretty and flushing and bloom and make a few masses of okra, and directly it's dead.
Mm-hmm.
I said, sure. And me and my husband used to have new grounds, and we would plant it in the new ground, and we'd have okra till the frost kill it.
Mm-hmm.
Just all kind could go out there and cut a dishpan full at any time.
Hmm.
So could, but I can't raise a child like that.
How long do you, when do you harvest your gardens here? If you plant it in March, when would you start getting corn and picking tomatoes from your garden?
You start getting that corn in the last of June. Mm-hmm. That sweet corn will be ready to eat.
And what about your collards? You could eat them earlier.
The collards, you know, they'll soon be ready to go to prime. And if I could have got them in the right time, they'd have been big, nice collards.
How do you cook those up? How do you make collards?
You know, the collards, you can take them and pick them and wash them and cut them up fine and fry your meat.
Mm-hmm. Some salt meat or
that
ham?
Salt, if it's ham or any kind. And have your greens washed good and just put them in your boiler where your meat fried at.
Get that grease on them then.
Yeah, don't have too much grease so it won't be. And shut them up and don't put too much water in. And you have you something good to eat.
Yeah, so they're good.
Yeah, they're good.
They're good for you too.
Yeah. And snap beans. Yeah.
You cook them about the same way? You cook them with your meat, too?
I get me some ham hocks and put them on and let them boil good.